do are to profit us spiritually, to encourage us in the faith. And it's a blessing that we have whenever we can participate in all of these different things. And I'm thankful for the good hearts of the brethren here that desire to do just that. Last Sunday night, I knew by the end of the night what I was going to be preaching this very Sunday. For some of you, it'll be a little bit of a review. For most of you, it's not. But when we were at the youth devotional, the topic for the evening was similar to what Zach was just leading us in song on, and that is faithfulness. And certainly we sang about God's faithfulness, but we also sang about our faithfulness to God. And when we came together for the youth devotional, that was the topic. We were talking about the next faithful generation. And what can the next generation do to be faithful to the Lord? And that was our focus. And to introduce the topic, we went to Joshua. And we talked about Joshua, referencing that in the song that we just sang a little bit here. And we talked about the generation that Joshua led through the wilderness, and that Joshua led to the land of Canaan, and that Joshua led in conquering the land of Canaan. And that generation of Israelites was one of the most faithful that you read about in the Old Testament scriptures. It was a faithful generation of godly people. And that at the end of Joshua, in chapter 24, we see that Joshua had given that challenge, that charge to the people. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, either those gods, all the false gods in the nations around you, or the Lord your God who delivered you from Egypt. And he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what people know. People know that refrain of Joshua. That's how famous it is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in our discussion that night, we talked about how Joshua was not just talking about his present day household, but then how he was looking to his future households as well. And the people there were saying that they accepted the challenge and that they too were going to choose the Lord God who had delivered them. And they too were going to serve the Lord faithfully. And you go over to Judges chapter 2. And in Judges chapter 2, you see that as he is it's being recorded here about these people. In Judges chapter 2, it says in verse 9 that Joshua dismissed the people and the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Verse 8 talks about the death of Joshua. They buried him. Verse 9, it says in verse 10, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, a good, godly, faithful generation. And it says, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. The sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. And whenever you talk about following all these other gods, you talk about all the immorality that came with that, all of the sin that came from that. And what happened here, this faithful generation that was there and was established, and then that next generation that came that was not a faithful generation, that is the fear of every faithful generation. The fear of every faithful generation is that the next generation will not be faithful. Haven't you ever had that concern? I don't know any godly parents that have not had that concern for their children. I don't know any godly grandparents that have not had that concern for their grandchildren, for their great-grandchildren, for those next generation. All godly parents and grandparents, all parents of faithful generations are always going to be concerned about the next generation. And will they be righteous and will they be faithful? And certainly, in the day and age in which we live, we have the same ill that I think plagues every generation, and that is we have the tendency to romanticize our own generation. We have the tendency to think that our generation is better than the generations that are coming along, which can stoke that fear a little bit, which can raise that concern a little bit, and thinking about what are these young people up to these days, and what are these young people going to do in the days ahead, and we can look to the next generation with that fear and sometimes despair. With a little bit of arrogance maybe, thinking, hey, we're going to be the last generation that's faithful to the Lord. But I want to take you back to last Sunday night. And I want to take you back to the discussion that we had within the group. And I want us to observe the responses of the young people. We went around the room and we asked the young people the question, what can you do to be the next faithful generation? We asked them, what can you do? And we weren't throwing out hints or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, we're silent and left it up to them to respond, right? And so today I want to share with you in their words, their responses as to what they believe is necessary to be the next faithful generation. What's going to help them to be the next faithful generation? We started in this group youngest to oldest, obviously, because if you know you're going through and somebody gives an answer, you want to provide the easiest opportunities to the youngest, right? Not to say that their answers were any less important, because they weren't. They were very valuable answers and showed a lot of insight in the hearts and minds of these young people. The first one that we asked was Kimberly Darter. She's 12 years old, and Kimberly's a very bright young lady, and she said, for the next generation to be a faithful generation, they need to read God's Word. They need to read God's Word. And while she could have just said the Bible, and we all know that the Bible is God's Word, I appreciate that she phrased it this way. Reading God's Word. Understanding the value of God's Word above all the other words, right? Above man's words, above all the other books. This is the most important book. This is God's Word that is going to help the next generation to be faithful to God. I want you to consider in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 1, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul, whenever he's writing this letter, as we noted a couple weeks ago, is towards the end of his ministry, not at the beginning. And he knows that whenever he goes away from this world, that he wants that next generation to be faithful, doesn't he? And here we see one of the things that's been done to help to ensure the next generation is faithful is that he has written this word down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God-breathed word right here. And he says, to write this is no trouble to me. To write the same thing is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you. This word right here is a safeguard to the souls of the next generation. It always has been, and it always will be. The reason Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was written was so that the generations would be faithful to the Lord. That was their purpose, to teach us about God, to teach us about God's will and God's ways, as Brother Littlejohn prayed about in the prayer this morning. It was written down so that we would know who God is, so that we would know God, so that we would have His voice teaching us and inspiring us towards faith and towards faithfulness as well. It's something that has always been established from the beginning, that we need to know God's Word. And bless this young lady for saying that first off. We need to read God's Word. And I also appreciate the fact that she implied within that responsibility to read. Not just have it read to her, but her responsibility to read. The next generation's responsibility to open up the Word of God and read and to study and to grow in the faith. From Kimberly, we moved on to Rosie, who at that time was 13, only a week later, now she's 14. Isn't that amazing how that happens?
And Rosie gave the answer of church. For the next generation to be faithful, it needs to go to church. It needs to be involved in church. And that may seem like an obvious answer. But I'll tell you, several years ago, I was at a youth devotional, the very same type thing, when I was asking a group of college kids who were about, this was their last time, they're about to go off into college, and I was saying within the devotional, you know, this next 5 to 7 years, some of the most important years of your life, so many young people who are raised, the way that you guys are raised in the next 5 to 7 years determines whether they go on to live a life of faithfulness or whether they fall away from the Lord. And so I was posing the question, what can you do to make sure that you're faithful through that next 5 to 7 years? And I got all kinds of great answers. There's over a dozen people at that study and a lot of great answers, but there was one answer as you kept going around the group that was missing. And it got all the way to the last person who wasn't a Christian and was a visitor, and I wasn't even going to make him answer, but I said, if you want to answer, you can. And he said, church? Nobody else had said church and go to church and go to church regularly. They had given all kinds of wonderful answers, but never said church. And so while it may seem like an obvious answer, it's something that some people tend to forget, I guess. And you think about the value of the body of Christ. In Ephesians, if you were there in Philippians, you're right there close in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the church, the body, it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Isn't that what young people need? And as they grow older, will they ever grow out of needing that? If anything, they'll need it all the more, won't they, as they go on to be independent and confront the realities of life, the everyday realities and difficulties of life. Being a part of a church, a faithful, sound church, is key to the next faithful generation rising up and being established as a faithful generation. What was the problem of the Israelites in Judges chapter 2 that we read? They wanted to go off. They wanted to be like the world, right? They wanted to do all the things of the world and serve the false gods of the world. They didn't want to remain that unified body of God that was focused on God, and God was their head, and God was their king, and God was the one whom they were going to serve. For the next faithful generation, they need to understand the value of the body of Christ and being a part of a local church, both in what they receive, but also in what they can give, what they can contribute, how they can help that body mature and grow. That's what they were doing last Sunday night. And by virtue of this lesson, that's what they're doing right now. Is they're contributing to our faith and our encouragement in the faith with the things that they were talking about. But to me, what really made Rosie's answer special was that in that she talked about purpose. And she made a distinction between the social aspect of being the body and the spiritual aspect. And she said how important the spiritual was. And I know, I can remember back in those days, you know, whenever you're young, sometimes you go to church for the wrong reason. You know, you go to church to see your friends, you go to church to see your buddies, and that sort of thing. And Rosie's point was the next faithful generation, while they need to understand the value of friends, and we'll talk about that in a second, needs to understand what church is about, needs to understand what the congregation and the calling out and the gathering here together is all about, and that it's about the spiritual. It's not about the social. It's about the spiritual. And the emphasis upon God and reverencing God and worshiping God. And they need to come to understand and appreciate that and value that. Now, she didn't say all those words, right? I mean, but in her answer and what she talked about, that's the things that she was leading to. And that's something that all generations need to understand, right? That we're not here to be entertained, and that this is about a social gathering. This is about a spiritual gathering, coming and honoring Jesus Christ in His sacrifice as we partake of the Lord's Supper and coming together in this prayer and song and worship unto God. Church, being a part of a local church, receiving the encouragement from a local church, giving to that local church in service, that's going to be crucial for the next faithful generation. Then we moved on to Kayla. Kayla's 14, wants to be a forensic psychologist. That's a pretty aspirational career right there. And I believe with every fiber of my being that she can do that. She said, listen. That's what she said, listen. For the next generation to be a faithful generation, that generation needs to listen. And her point was, it's not enough to just go to church, right? It's not enough to just open up and read. We got to be listening to what we read. And when we go to church, we have to be listening to what we are doing. And when we are receiving that wise counsel from others, whether it be the preacher, the elders, or our parents, right? We need to listen, right? And all that helps us to grow. And all of that is going to help us to grow in faith and be faithful to God. You look over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I know I talk about this parable a lot, the parable of the sower. And you look in between the giving of the parable of the sower and the end of that, where Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then when he gives that explanation in verses 18 and following, that the parable of the sower, that you have the sower who is the sower of the seed, that is the word of God, and it falls upon the soil, and that's the hearts of men, and then you see how that bears fruit or doesn't over time. And right there in the middle, as Jesus is giving the explanation, he's talking about that generation. And he says in verse 14, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Jesus was saying, these people will hear, but they will not listen. And that's what Kayla's saying. That if the next generation wants to be a faithful generation, they need to listen. They need to not just see, but open their eyes to understand. They need to not just hear, but open their ears to listen. They need to open their hearts to the Word of God. I thought that was a very profound and deep answer, don't you? A lot of adults who probably wouldn't get that answer on what it means to be faithful. But that is absolutely right, isn't it? It's absolutely right. For the next generation to be a faithful generation, they're going to have to open up their heart, open up their ears, and listen to the Word of God, to listen to all of God's wise counsel. From there, we moved on to Evangeline, who's not with us this morning. She's not feeling good this morning, so be mindful of her in prayer. But Evangeline, who's 15, said, we need to have godly friends. We need to have that godly influence, that encouragement, that support. And that's important. What she was pointing out was certainly you're going to have friends who aren't members of the church. And certainly you're going to encounter people at school, right? Who may want to be your friend that don't come from godly homes and not godly themselves. And while it's not necessarily wrong to have those friends, you do need to have godly friends, people that you can depend upon, peers that you can depend upon for encouragement in the faith, peers that you can depend upon who you know have sat in assemblies like this and sat in Bible classes like the ones that were going on this morning and have been fed the spiritual nourishment of the Word of God, and they themselves have grown up in that spiritual nourishment and been growing up and maturing in the faith so that they can be that strength and support to their peers. Do you know why that's so valuable? Because a lot of times teenagers don't want to go to older people for advice and counsel, do they? And they feel more comfortable looking to their peers. And that's why Evangeline needs to grow in faith so that she can be in help and support to her peers. And why Joshua needs to grow in the faith so that when his peers are needing counsel, he can help be that counsel. And all these other young people that were involved in that session and are gathered here together today need to be growing in the faith to be that encouragement and support to one another. Look with me over in Hebrews. In Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 3, and in verse 12 it says, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me." Here he talks about the brotherhood, and how we are supposed to take care lest any of us have an unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. Isn't the next generation susceptible to that? Absolutely they are. And he says, but encourage one another day after day. Is that just the work of the preacher? Is that just the work of the elders? Is that just the work of the adults? The reason I ask that is because all of these young people that were there and giving answers have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are all already Christians, believers. They're already facing dangers that are trying to pull them away from faithfulness to God. And while certainly it is the work and duty of the preacher to encourage them, and while certainly it is the work of the shepherds to teach and to encourage them, and while certainly it is the work of the parents to teach and encourage them, and certainly it is the work and responsibility of the adults to encourage them, it is also the duty and responsibility of one another, young people, one another, encouraging one another in the faith. They're workers in the kingdom too. They don't get a pass just because they're young, right? They're workers in the faith too. They're young workers, yes. But part of their work is this right here, encouraging one another in the faith. I'm so thankful that I had that blessing growing up. Peers who cared about me and loved me and cared about my soul and wanted to encourage me in the faith, encourage me to grow in the Lord, help me whenever I was down, strengthen me whenever I was weak, console me whenever I was in sorrow, helped me. And that's what I want these young people to be for one another as well. And I think they see that. Evangeline saw that. The importance and value of having godly Christian friends to help that generation be faithful, not just for when they're young, but for their lives. The friends that I had whenever I was young, godly friends that I had whenever I was young, guess what? Many of them I still have today. Many of them throughout my life have always been there for me spiritually and have been an encouragement for me spiritually. And that seed was planted whenever we were young. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the next generation sees the value of good friends, that they understand how evil companions corrupt good morals, and so how they need righteous companions to help them remain faithful to the morals of Christianity. From there we moved on to Joshua. My son, my pride and joy. And I'm sure you can imagine what thoughtful, deep answer that my son gave. A lot of y'all are smiling. Why are y'all smiling? He probably doesn't even remember, but he said, "Stuff like this." That was his response. "Stuff like this." He was quick to clarify what he meant by that. Of course, we all knew what he meant by that. What was the setting? What was the environment? It was hosting a youth devotional in the home. And that's what he followed it up with. He talked about work and he talked about service and he specifically mentioned hospitality. And being involved in these works, he understands, helps create that environment of growth in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the very end of the chapter, this is another one of those passages that perhaps I think we only think of in terms of adults too often, but it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Young people, this applies to you as well, doesn't it? And young people understand that, I think, at least based upon the answers that they gave in our time together. They understand that they need to be involved in work and service. They have come to understand and appreciate that value in their lives. I think they have seen it in the older generation and what they do in being faithful and how they work and serve one another within the church and how they work and serve God within the church. And they realize how that helps. They realize the benefit. They see the profit in that here and understand the profit that goes unto them eternally as well. Working and serving, practicing hospitality, that's going to help that next generation to be faithful to God, isn't it? We talked about many times before how there were three indicators of faithfulness to God. That is people's walk, their work, and their worship. And time again throughout the Old Testament, you see in the New Testament teaching of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, you see it in the New Testament teaching in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that great chapter of faith that we talk about, people's walk, their work, and their worship. And the next generation understands, has shown that they have an understanding that they need to be involved in the work of the Lord, that is part of what it means to be faithful to God. And the more that they're involved in that, the more opportunity it provides them for growth and faithfulness within the kingdom. From then we went on to Jasmine, who was 20, is 20. And Jasmine gave a similar answer to Evangeline in regards to the godly friends and relationships there. And so we pressed her a little bit more. And what we end up talking about in picking friends in particularly, we said, now narrow that down to one. You talk about young people who are teenagers now, going into college, going into their 20s. What's the most important friendship that they are going to establish that is going to impact and influence the rest of their life? Their mate, right? Who they choose to date, and ultimately who they choose to marry. And I think you can recognize the importance and the value of a good, godly spouse in helping one to be faithful. Many of us have been blessed to have that spouse who is there to help us grow in the faith. Unfortunately, some of us have experienced the other side as well. But whether you're on either side, you still learn the same lesson, don't you? That aside from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the most important decisions you will ever make in your entire life is who you choose to date and who you choose to be your mate. And I appreciate that young people have that mentality at a young age, because what they hear in music and what they see on TV and what they see in movies and what they see online often is contrasted to the wisdom of God. Not contrasted, I should say contrary to the wisdom of God. But you consider Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and in verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain." And that's what young people are trained by the world to look for, isn't it? They're trained to look for beauty, the physical beauty, the charm, right? That's what they are geared to look at. That's what they're trained to look for in who they date and who their mate is. And it says in verse 30, "But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." She shall be praised. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. If you live long enough, you know those things fade with time, right? But what is always there and what will always shine through is the character of a person. Sometimes people can cover up for the character by trying to look good, right? But if people aren't blinded by lust, they can look through and see the character of an individual. And it says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what young men need to be looking for, right? First and foremost, a woman who fears the Lord. And it's no different for women, except they need to be looking for men, right? The same thing. Women need to be looking for men who fear the Lord. That's the only difference, right? But that should be the priority. And it takes an immense level of maturity for a young person to not merely look at the physical and to be attracted to the spiritual and to value the spiritual and to value the spiritual the most. And I'm thankful that many of our young people get that. They understand that. Now, putting that into practice, I understand. That can be a lot harder, right? But at least they get it. At least they understand. And that's where it starts, right? That's where it has to start. And so I'm thankful they see that to be the next faithful generation, they need to be a generation that is looking for a godly spouse. Yareli was next, and she gave two great answers. Two great answers. And I put it in the acronym there based upon Spanish and English, so it does look a little bit different. But PGF, what does that stand for? PGF should be pretty easy to figure out, right? PGF, put God first. How can you go wrong with that, right? Put God first. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God needs to be our priority. And I appreciate how she explained that and how in every aspect of life, we need to put God first. It's not that you have to give up college to be faithful to God. You can go to college and be faithful to God. You need to put God first in your college. You can go off and have a great career, but you don't need to sacrifice God on the altar of your career. You can have a great career and be faithful to God, right? You need to put God first in all things, in your family life, in your home life, in your professional life, educational life, everything. Put God first. The reason that's so important is because the world is always, especially nowadays, right, always trying to put other things before God and trying to convince our young people that to have a good, happy, successful life, you need to have all these things and you need to pursue all these things. And all these things are what's going to give you peace and contentment and happiness and joy. You worry about God later on in life, right? You don't have to worry about God right now. Pursue all these things. But Yareli's reminding us, no, it's the other way around. You pursue God first and then all these things will be added to you, right? Then you'll understand what happiness is. Then you'll learn what contentment is. Then you'll understand how you have that peace and joy in the Lord and how valuable it is setting your priority right and God being first. Put God first. And the second thing she encouraged was to teach. And that's so incredibly valuable, isn't it? To teach. In Hebrews chapter 5, one of the criticisms of the growth of brethren within the first century church was their lack of maturity of faith and how that showed up in their lacking the ability to teach. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, concerning him we have much to say, speaking of Melchizedek, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. It goes back to what Kayla said, right? Listen, listen, listen. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What you're really was saying is that the next generation needs to be taking up that mantle to teach the following generation, right? They need to be learning and growing in the faith so that they're at a level where they can now take that mantle and help work with the following generation. And she gave some praise amongst the young people who have had that desire and shown that desire to already begin helping in the Bible classes in the back and already help to teach. And she does that work herself. But that is what it takes, right? How can we expect the next generation to be the faithful generation if we don't teach them? If we're not involved in that, if we don't make an active effort and have active participation in that, we have to understand it's part of our growth and maturity of faith is to have that desire to teach the next generation. And finally, I always forget how old he is, so I just leave question marks. But he's still in college. Can you believe that? Zach Olson, still in college. Now, in all fairness, he is getting his doctorate, so, I mean, you know, cut him some slack. But he said, ask questions. The next generation needs to ask questions. For the next generation to be a faithful generation, they need to have that desire to search out truth. To search out truth. And to ask questions. A lot of times people are scared to ask questions. They think that, oh, I'll look dumb or, oh, I'll look stupid. I don't want to ask questions. They think, oh, I should already know the answer to that, so I don't want to ask the question. And a lot of times young people hear so many things from the world and they get so many answers from the world that causes them to doubt their faith. And while they listen to all the negative information, all the worldly information, they never go to the spiritual and ask the questions from their parents or from the preacher or from the elders or from their Bible class teacher, from other people of faith. They never seek to gain the spiritual, godly knowledge from His Word. It's important to understand. We all know this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when people ask a question, they're much more likely to have their heart open. Remember we talked about before having our heart open and our ears open to listen? People who ask questions are much more likely to have their heart and mind open to answers than people who don't ask questions. The fact that they're asking a question means they're searching. And they want to hear an answer, right? They want to search it out. They want to study. They want to come to an understanding. And so if we are to be a faithful generation, we should never discourage the next generation from asking questions. Quite the opposite. We should be begging them to ask us questions, right? So we can open up God's Word and study together and show from the objective truth of the Scripture what the truth is, what God's will is, what God's way is. We do have godly answers to godly questions. And we, as a generation, need to invite those questions and be ready to answer those questions or search those answers out with the next faithful generation that is asking questions. There were plenty of other great things that were said during our time together last Sunday night. But these are the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. This was a very encouraging study to me. So much so that I want to tell you. The same night that I committed to doing this lesson this very day, I also committed to writing a book about that very experience, that youth devotional, titled The Next Faithful Generation in Their Words, talking about the answers that they gave. I'm already a third of the way done with the first draft there. Why? In part because of what I talked about at the beginning of the year. I want to continue to leave things for the next generation as resources to grow close in their relationship to God. And at the same time, I want it to be an encouragement to this present generation. Are you encouraged this morning by those young people participating in that? Are you encouraged this morning by the answers that they gave? I know that I was. I was tremendously encouraged. And while so many times the older generations are looking down and thumbing their nose at the younger generations and throwing their hands up in despair, oh man, what's this world going to come to with that next generation? I want you to see there's a lot of hope in that next generation. There's a lot of reason to have faith in that next generation. I can tell you this for sure. They know the right answer. They know what it takes to be the next faithful generation. Yes, they'll have the challenge that every generation has, and that's putting what they know into practice, right? But isn't it encouraging to know that they know? It is to me. I hope it is to you as well. And of course, the next question is, what can you do? What can you do to help the next generation be faithful? Or if you are the younger generation, and you think about these answers that were given, continue to think about other ways in which you can grow in faithfulness to the Lord. But all of us as adults, I want you to ask yourselves, what can you do to help the next generation be faithful? And don't just ask that and give some superficial answer. Think about it hard. Think about it deeply. And then work to do it. We're going to sing this song of encouragement and invitation. I am not ashamed to own the Lord. And all of us here today need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the next generation that's not ashamed, and they've proven that by the fact that, as I said, all that entire group has already confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God and has already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are already a part of God's kingdom. They are already serving as Christians. They're not ashamed to own the Lord. And neither should any of us be. If you're here this morning, though, and you haven't lived faithfully to the Lord, and you need the help and prayers of this church, as I said at the very beginning, it's a great church that seeks to love you and seeks to support you in your relationship to God. And if that's what you need this morning, understand that we are ready to help you and assist you with that. If you would just make it known to us by coming forward now as together we stand and as we sing.